Hare Krishna. Well, it is a great wonder that I am here. And it's certainly a great fortune for me to be with you on such an auspicious occasion, in such an august assembly. The different occasions that have come together, Sri Sri Nitaigaura Hari's installation, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day, and then tomorrow's Rath Yatra, and the general topic of Srila Prabhupada, could keep us here eternally. there'd be no place to go and nothing else to do. But taking up a little from each talk, I'll share some thoughts. His Grace Nanda Kumar Prabhu told a wonderful story about Srila Prabhupada's position. And in the course of it, he described the clouds of Vrindavan. And he related the clouds to the clouds we see on our walks. This afternoon also, there was a lot of rumbling in the clouds and drizzling. And somehow I thought of another pastime of Krishna's, when he and Sudama were sent into the forest to get firewood. And while they were in the forest, there was a great storm. And in the storm, they couldn't see which way to go. So they just spent the whole night huddled together in the forest. And the next day, their Guru Maharaj, noting that they had not returned, he and some disciples personally went into the forest to look for the two boys. And when he found them, he was very pleased. He said that generally everyone is very attached to his body and is always thinking of the comforts of his body. But you are so faithful to your spiritual master that without any consideration of bodily comforts, you have gone to serve me. And he blessed them, that whatever knowledge they had received from him would be fresh, and so on. Now, hearing the extraordinary glorification of Srila Prabhupada from Nanda Kumar Prabhu, and it is essential to recognize Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya of ISKCON, but there is also another side to Srila Prabhupada as one's personal spiritual master. And along with him being the one who was instrumental in spreading the holy name to every town and village of the world and traveling around the world in that metal airplane and translating the books and inspiring the translation of his translations and the distribution of his books. There's also the aspect of his personal interaction with his disciples, with new people who came to him, with people who were inimical. There's so many examples of the way he dealt with people and situations. And it's important for us to know both the general philosophy that Srila Prabhupada presented coming down through parampara, sadhu, shastra, guru, vakya, and also how he practically applied the principles in his behavior. Because sometimes the statements in the scriptures, even in Srila Prabhupada's books, appear to be contradictory. And sometimes the ideas of munis or thinkers, philosophers, they also differ from each other. So how do we know what is the true path of religion? And Mahabharata says that guhyam, the confidential mysteries and truths of devotional service are enshrined within the heart of Mahajans, great souls, pure devotees. And Mahajana Yena Gatasa Pantha. We should follow the path that they have shown us. So it is very important to know how Srila Prabhupada dealt in different situations. So we can learn how to apply the principles in practical life, in executing the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Once I was with Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, there was a conference held at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. And the theme of the conference was how the Bhagavad Gita can solve all the problems of the world. And before the conference, Srimati Lilavati Munshi, who was the head of Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan then, after the demise of her husband, she arranged for a tea in her private quarters before the conference. And different sadhus or swamis who were scheduled to speak were also present. So one of them, I think it was the mood of all of them, they wanted Srila Prabhupada to be the chairman of the conference, because his age, his wisdom, his stature, his accomplishments put him way beyond anyone else. But it was a 3-day conference, and Srila Prabhupada really only wanted to spare one evening because he was very preoccupied with the Juhu project. But still, they were insisting. And one of them was saying, Swami, Swamiji, Swamiji, only you can lead us. Only you can lead us. And Srila Prabhupada replied, that is a fact. But are you prepared to follow? And that was really the issue. Then there's more discussion. Mrs. Munshi herself was praising Srila Prabhupada. She was just so impressed with the disciples. You know, she kept saying, how did you get them to do it? You know, wear dhotis and kurtas and tilak, and the ladies, how did you get them to do it? Wear saris. And then she brought up a point that was on many people's minds, and it still may be on people's minds. She said that quite often when the founder of a mission is present, the mission is very successful. It's flourishing. Prospering. But after the founder leaves, things deteriorate. So what will be the future of your movement after you go? And Srila Prabhupada replied, the future of my mission is very bright. As long as my disciples follow my instructions. And then he gave the example of Mahatma Gandhi. And of course, Lila Bhakti Munshi and her husband, Kanhaiyalal Munshi, they were very much part of the freedom movement. Just like Gandhi, he had so many programs. But after he left, his followers changed everything. You know, he wanted village organization. He wanted the economy to be based on agriculture. And after he left, you know, Nehru and others, they changed the whole program. They wanted to industrialize and imitate the West. So Prabhupada said, He had his program, but after he left, his followers changed everything, and everything became spoiled. So in the same way, if I leave, and my followers change what I've given, then what can I do? So he sort of put it on us. His followers, and that is our responsibility today, at every moment. It's our responsibility and our challenge. Of course, that's also a difficult question, because in Prabhupada's absence, there may be different ideas of how to apply Prabhupada's teachings. Shruti Kirti Prabhu told a story that some of Prabhupada's godbrothers had come to see him, and they were, you know, sort of critical of some of the adjustments that Srila Prabhupada had made, especially I think having men and women preach together. Some things that had never been done before. And after they left, you know, Srila Prabhupada sort of, well, he didn't take it too seriously, what they said. And Shruti Kirti Prabhu just began to glorify Srila Prabhupada that you had, you know, you'd preserved the basic principles that you received through your Guru Maharaj, but you adjusted some of the details so that people would adopt the principles. And Prabhupada agreed. And then Shruti Kirti Prabhu said, but sometimes, Srila Prabhupada, it's confusing. How do we know what is a principle that cannot be changed and what is a detail that we can adjust? And Srila Prabhupada paused, closed his eyes, and then replied, that requires a little intelligence. And that is a problem. Not that we don't have intelligence, but people have different intelligence. And so sometimes there is question. But still, you know, we do have the system that Srila Prabhupada gave us, the system of say collegial management. I remember once in Hyderabad, on the farm, there were three leaders. Prabhupada put three leaders in charge, all of them equal. And each one was really very strong-willed and strong-minded and strong-headed. And quite often they would butt heads. And they wouldn't, you know, it was just so hard for them to work with the others. And I think there was a sentiment, let one, you know, let Prabhupada choose one and let him decide. You know, this is just too problematic. And Prabhupada instructed them, you sit together, you fight like cats and dogs, and then when you all agree, you go ahead. So, anyway, I think the sitting together we've done, the next thing we've done, the we all agreeing, we're waiting for that. But we're getting closer. We're getting closer. I'm joking, of course. And in Prabhupada's last days, literally, his last days, one of the Vaishnavas from Vrindavan came and told Srila Prabhupada to instruct his disciples not to fight, in effect. And it, that was that time when Prabhupada was just lying on his bed, flat. It had very little energy and strength, and he just waved his arm to his disciples and said, I'm given directions in my books. In other words, if we keep the books, not just keep them in the forefront, but because they also, you know, they say devil can also cite scripture for his own purposes, but keep his books in the forefront and really try to understand them in a humble mood of submission and surrender. Just like we always hear, Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Seveya. In that mood, to understand Srila Prabhupada's books, understand his mission, and follow his instructions. And when Chakri Prabhu was talking about the Krishna book, I thought of another nice little story that Shruti Kirti Prabhu told. He was making the point that one thing he loved about being Srila Prabhupada's personal servant was that he could be with Srila Prabhupada when Srila Prabhupada was not sitting on the Vyasasan giving class, or not on a morning walk discussing philosophy, or not in a meeting with the managers discussing the movement. But he got to see Srila Prabhupada when he was alone, when he had nothing to do, so to speak. No specific appointments or obligations. And Srila Prabhupada would just like to chant and hear about Krishna. He took pleasure in associating with Krishna through the process of chanting and hearing. Sometimes no one was there, no one was looking, no one was hearing, no one was recording. He would just take out his harmonium and sing. Sometimes he would take out one of his books and read. So one time, Shruti Kirti Prabhu went in the room and Srila Prabhupada was reading the Krishna book. And Srila Prabhupada looked up and he said, "This Krishna book is so nice that if you just read this one book, you can become fully Krishna conscious." Because the Chakri Prabhu said. He said, "Not even the whole book. If you just read one chapter, you can become fully Krishna conscious." And he said, "Not even a whole chapter. If you just read one page, you can become fully Krishna conscious." Not even one page. "If you just read one line, you can become fully Krishna conscious." "Not even one line. If you read just one word, you can become fully Krishna conscious." So there's so much potency, you know, in Srila Prabhupada's books. In Krishna, it's Krishna. Coming to us through disciplic succession, it's Krishna. Every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. Every syllable is Krishna. It's all Krishna. And the holy name of Krishna is Krishna. Everything that Prabhupada gave us really is Krishna. Even devotional service, pure devotional service, is also Krishna. Krishna's energy. So, you know, as we have often heard and even repeated, Srila Prabhupada has given us everything. He certainly has. But that everything, like Vedanta Sutra says, that Brahman is unlimited but always expanding. So he's given us everything. But that everything is meant to expand. By nature, it will expand. We just have to be, pure, selfless servants of Srila Prabhupada and his predecessors, his followers, his instructions. And our own creepers will expand. Vidya Vadu Jivanam, the is a very interesting phrase in Shikshastika, Vidya Vadu Jivanam. But anyway, the lotus of our good fortune will expand. The lotus of our relationship with Krishna will expand. And the Krishna consciousness movement will expand. And Srila Prabhupada's pleasure and the pleasure of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and all the way back to Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hari and Lord Jagannath and Sri Sri Radha Radhanath. Their pleasure will expand. And our pleasure will also expand even more. I'll just conclude with one little story about Prabhupada's disciple Bhavananda. When Srila Prabhupada initiated him, he gave him the name Bhavananda. Bhava means the material world or material existence, which comes into being and exists for some time and then ceases to exist. So he gave him the name Bhavananda Das, bliss of the material world. So Bhavananda was a little concerned what Srila Prabhupada had in mind by giving him that name. So after the ceremony, he approached Srila Prabhupada and asked him. And Prabhupada replied that the devotee's bliss, Ananda, the devotee's pleasure, comes from Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna gets the greatest pleasure when we bring new souls to him. New souls means new people to him. And we can do that only in the material world. In the spiritual world, everyone is already there with Krishna. It's only in the material world that people have turned away from him and gone away from him. And when we bring them back to Krishna, encourage them to turn their face towards Krishna again and approach him, that gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. And that is possible only in the material world. And that is the meaning of the bliss of the material world, giving Krishna the greatest pleasure by bringing others to him. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hari ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.